Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
Does anyone realize the absurd hubris and arrogance of the modern present day man to denigrate and disregard and throw away history? To divorce yourself from the line and legacy of history in which you're playing a part, following people that have come before you that have done great things and accomplished great things and also made mistakes that we need to learn from. Picking up where we left off yesterday talking about Columbus Day, here is an article I stumbled upon from the Washington Examiner. Listen to this. An Andrew Jackson statue in front of the White House was vandalized during a protest, and here is the slogan of the protest: respect us or expect us. First of all, that's a really stupid slogan. It's really lousy. It's so childish. It's seriously, respect us or expect us. Okay, that's effeminate. I'm looking for the right words here that are appropriate on a podcast. Really, get a better slogan. But here's what happened. Reading from the Washington Examiner. A statue of former President Andrew Jackson outside of the White House was vandalized Monday during a protest over a pipeline. Okay, let's read further. So this is environmentalist wackos getting in bed with the politically correct oppressed minority social justice race wackos who are advocating, allegedly, it's never really genuine, for so-called indigenous peoples, meaning Indians, Native Americans, American Indians. Expect us was written on the statue's base and part of a chant protesters shouted against a pipeline in Minnesota. Why do these people always think that chanting is going to do anything and make a difference? The constant chanting and spray paint. The full chant, respect us or expect us, protests Line 3, which runs through lands owned by indigenous tribes. According to the protesters' website, the concern is that the pipeline could spill and ruin some of the land indigenous people used to farm. So there you go. Again, with these, as a side note, these safety, politically correct words, indigenous tribes, and Native Americans, Indians. That's what we called them when we were kids, and they're part of America. Why are we afraid to call them Indians? No, I don't mean they're from the other side of the world, India. They're Indians are a part of our wonderful heritage, and they're a wonderful part of that heritage to remember. We shouldn't be afraid of calling them Indians. Then it moved to Native Americans. Now it's indigenous people. It's always this sensitivity. And beyond that, they're protesting this pipeline. But here's the absurdity. Don't pipelines and energy production and infrastructure create jobs for people? So putting a pipeline down through this area, would that not create economic growth? Now, just laying a pipeline through a particular piece of land doesn't create growth, but I'm saying having energy production in that part of Minnesota would help everybody's level of economic production increase together. It's beneficial to have progress, but it's always this vapid, empty threat. Oh, it could spill and ruin the land. Give me a break. That's not the case. How often does that happen? Those are empty, veiled threats as a means of gaining leverage to shut down progress, civilization, which is what people need for economic growth. Now, this is all, why did they vandalize Andrew Jackson? How does that connect? Well, Andrew Jackson signed the Indian Removal Act of 1830. This is again from the article, which took land away from the natives and gave it to the states. Now, going back to yesterday when I was talking about Columbus Day, not everything that every historical figure did was good and right. There were times when we preserved land for the Indians, like in the Northwest Ordinance of 1787, and created reservations. And there are times when our government did not act in justice and humanely, such as the Trail of Tears. The Act of 1830 led to the famous Trail of Tears, in which approximately, again, the article, 4,000 Cherokees died as they were forced to vacate their land. I believe that was in Georgia and the Atlanta area. They were moved out. The Trail of Tears was a shameful part of our history. Jackson was not president during that, but it was his direct enforcement. It was the direct enforcement of the Removal Act that caused it. But my point in bringing up history again is to say this. We don't then look at a figure like Andrew Jackson. And by the way, I don't think Andrew Jackson was one of our shining moments. I don't think he was one of our best presidents at all. In fact, they don't tell this part of the story. You know, Andrew Jackson was the first Democrat? That's right. The first Democrat fully entrenched in Southern society, pro-slavery, and led to the Trail of Tears. So obviously anti-Native Americans to the extent that he pushed them out of their land in an inhumane way. My point is, even though Andrew Jackson is not the best example of the most noble American figure in history, still, we don't go around vandalizing his statues and denigrating history because we learned there were good things that Andrew Jackson did. Andrew Jackson is part of our legacy as Americans, and we want to maintain that. You need to create, to maintain cultural cohesion. We are a part of a community that has a legacy beginning with colonial America that goes through the constituting of a republic and all the people that are a part of that, the good, bad, and the ugly. It's part of who we are. You don't cut people off from their identity, because then there is no reason to maintain civility and concord and unity with your neighbor and with the culture around you. The movement of the left is to separate us from our heritage so that we have nothing left to protect, nothing to care about, nothing to hang on to, so that the entire republic, the entire society can be dissolved and replaced with a new godless, lawless, socialist construction. So, continuing on, the protest was brought to the nation's capital, obviously, because of Columbus Day, which has become a contentious day for some, especially among, again, indigenous peoples, who view Christopher Columbus as a colonizer as opposed to a discoverer. Didn't I tell you that yesterday? It's the colonialism. It's the white man exploiting the poor and the minorities of the world. I'm hesitating to use that word again. Brown and black and brown, POC. I said that yesterday. We didn't exploit the brown and black of the world. American slavery was distinct. That was it. The cultures have clashed all throughout human history and exploited one another. Lee Begay, a member of Diné Nation, which I guess is an Indian tribe or nation, said it's important to focus on celebrating the indigenous culture. Not honoring indigenous peoples on this day just continues to erase our history, our contributions, and the fact that we were the first inhabitants of this country. First of all, they weren't the first inhabitants of the country. There wasn't a country. It was a continent. They were nomadic tribes. There was no constituted nation with written, codified covenant laws. Now, they were here, but Columbus discovered it. And the Pilgrims created the first legal contract, and America was the first legal nation. This is all ridiculous, you know, glossing over of history in the name of sensitivity and political correctness in order to denigrate what we have as a society, as I said, and dissolve it. What else here? No one's trying to erase Indian history. And by the word, the buzzword you hear in the news this week, especially on Columbus Day, is genocide, genocide. The Europeans came and brought genocide. No, the Europeans didn't come and bring genocide, as I said yesterday. That's a reductionist view of history. Sometimes there was a clash of cultures. Sometimes the Europeans mercilessly killed. Sometimes the Indians mercilessly killed. Sometimes the Indians died from smallpox. Sometimes they got along great, like at Thanksgiving, which we never want to remember that part. We need to understand a full view of history, a depth of history, so that we can, again, have a humble posture of gratitude and also a humble posture of learning so we can avoid mistakes. By the way, a little info on Andrew Jackson. He was a famous American, made famous because of his role as a general in the War of 1812, in the Battle of New Orleans, very successful fighting for his country. Now, he didn't realize, they didn't know by then that the War of 1812, the treaty had already been signed, but that battle happened afterwards. But it was a great victory over the British. He served in government in the House of Representatives, in the U.S. Senate, in Tennessee. He was a great American hero. But they don't tell you the other parts of Andrew Jackson, as I said, that he was the first Democrat pro-slavery, and that the Democrat Party is the party of slavery. So while they're yelling about minorities and so-called indigenous people, is anyone talking about the fact that the father, the grandfather of the Democrat Party is Andrew Jackson, the very one that they are protesting? By the way, Andrew Jackson was already starting the whole Democrat idea of the common man versus the aristocracy. So this idea of in socialism, of the little guy getting his edge against the man and the rich and the class warfare and the rich guy that's keeping him down and equalizing everything and stealing the privilege of the rich. That's as old as the Democrat Party. Goes all the way back to Andrew Jackson. And even still, even though I'm not a fan of Andrew Jackson, going back into history and trying to erase it and vandalizing statues is not the wise and sober way to appreciate and value and learn from history. We see an American hero, we see his flaws, and we move forward, carrying the legacy, but living it out better. And one last thought. Does all this political correct activism and global warming and sensitivity actually help people? There's an argument to be made that Indians would have done better not to be put on reservations, allowed to keep their own land and culture, but to be rather incorporated in and brought into the American culture to participate in the freedom and prosperity that Christian civilization brings to all men, as Christianity and progress lifts people out of misery and poverty. So in the name of global activism and political correctness, all these protesters are doing is still keeping people down. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. History needs to be remembered and celebrated and valued, not vandalized. And perhaps these protesters would benefit from a little bit of history, because they would realize that the party that they belong to, the Democrat Party, has always been and still is the party of bigotry, slavery, and oppression.